The Old Testament reading for the day of Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues, as of fire, appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking them, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Our sermon text today is John 14, 23 to 31. The sermon title is, "Who Loves Jesus?" Do you love Jesus? Or do you use God to further your own interests? And when life doesn't go the way you expect, you abandon him and his church? This question is at the heart of our gospel lesson this morning. It was an important question for the first Christians on the first Pentecost, as thousands of them converted to Christianity in one day. Did they become Christians to further their own interests? Or did they get baptized because they loved Jesus and they believed in him? The fact that so many of them became martyrs for Jesus proved that most of them became Christians because they loved Jesus and they believed in him. Do you love Jesus? Or do you use God to further your own interests? And when life doesn't go the way you expect, you abandon him and his church? This is an important question for all of you today. As you remember your baptism, through the story of the thousands of baptisms on Pentecost. Pentecost is really a baptismal day. And this is an important question for most of you today, maybe all of you, as you remember your confirmation, when you were confirmed in the faith into which you're baptized. And this is an important question, but it's also hard to understand correctly. So let's turn now to an analogy or comparison with something you're familiar with. And then the question I've been posing might make some sense to you. Although I have officiated at one wedding for this congregation since coming to San Mateo, I've been here now 4 years ago, my wife and I have attended numerous weddings over the 37 years of my work in the pastoral ministry. Some were weddings at which I officiated. Others were weddings where we were invited to as friends or relatives of the bride or the groom, or of their parents. In many cases, my wife and I knew both the bride and the groom. Probably, I think my wife would agree with me, the most memorable wedding for us was the wedding of our oldest daughter, Sarah, to Jake Miller in Evansville, Indiana, in June 2018. And I was the proud father of the bride, so I didn't officiate up at front. I gave her off, you know, to her future husband. Do we know the bride and the groom? Well, we knew, of course, Sarah from infancy. We got to know Jake when he began dating Sarah in high school years. And as we watched Sarah and Jake grow together over the years, first in high school and then in college, became obvious that they really did, and they do, love each other. Humanly speaking, they are an excellent match. Spiritually speaking, they're also united by their love for Jesus. Both were raised in believing Christian families who went to church, and both families gave their children solid biblical and Christian training. Both Sarah and Jake were raised with the same understanding of the commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, which certainly applies to marriage. They both accept the promises and commands for Christian marriage found in the scriptures. And as they approach their third anniversary now, Sarah and Jake's love is still strong as ever, and maturing too. Ask my wife, Carla, and she'll be happy to share pictures of Sarah, Jake, and now our grandson with you anytime. Now, we're still in the analogy. As you all know, not all marriages run their course till death us do part. Sometimes the bride or the groom does not have true love. Instead, he or she marries to further his or her own interests. And when married life doesn't go the way he or she expected, he or she leaves the spouse and the marriage. And this happens so frequently today, even among believers, that you just can't expect a beautiful wedding or family pressure to hold a couple together. They both must truly love each other, and they both must believe that it is God's will for them to stay together if the marriage is going to last for a long time. The marriage vows mean that God wants them to stay together, whether they are rich or poor, whether they have good or bad health, and whether they're happy or unhappy. These words are there in the marriage rite to give you a test, or the test, of true love. True love, they say, waits until marriage. True love endures in marriage until death us do part. But, you know, both spouses must have that love for marriage to endure. Now, you understand that. And this is an analogy. So now let's go back to our question. Do you love Jesus? Or do you use God to further your own interests? And when life doesn't go the way you expect, you abandon him and his church. So now, using the marriage analogy, you don't need to worry about God's true love for you. He demonstrated that by sending his son Jesus into the world and by commanding Jesus to suffer and die on the cross for your sins so that you might be saved eternally. God and Jesus truly love you, and there is no uncertainty there. The uncertainty comes on your side. Do you love Jesus? Anyone who is sincere in their faith must be concerned about the fact that they might fall away from the faith someday. So how do you know that you have true faith and true love in Jesus? As you know, there are many people that pledge loyalty to Jesus, including those that are in their confirmation class. They all pledge till death us do part, and later in life, they renounce Jesus and they leave the church. Lutherans do not believe in the, quote, perseverance of the saints as found in some of the Calvinist churches. This is known more popularly as the doctrine of once saved, always saved. Lutherans and most other Christians believe that you can renounce your faith and that this happens to people all the time. especially in countries where it is easy to be a Christian or where Christians are a cultural majority. Why do Christians renounce their faith when and where it is easy to be a Christian? Most of the time, it is because they are Christian for family, social, or business reasons. And when those reasons change, then they cease attending church and they fall away from the faith. Some of the time, it is because God did not live up to their expectations. That is, they didn't get what they wanted from God. Other times, they simply take their religion for granted. They do not nurture it with the word and sacraments. And eventually, their faith is choked out by everything else in their life. The parable of the sower, Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 15, demonstrates at least three ways how Christians can fall from the faith. So how can you know today whether you will fall away from your faith? And if that happens, so be condemned with all unbelievers. How can you know whether your love of Jesus and faith in him is genuine? The answer to the question is found in our gospel, verse 23. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Now, this is a profound statement about the love of God and God's presence in your life. And the answer to the question is simple: keep Jesus' words. Now, the word "keep" in the Greek does not simply mean obey, as some translations state, although obedience is included. Keep Jesus' words means that you learn Jesus' words, you remember Jesus' words, you take them to heart, and you use them for comfort and assurance when they are gospel. And you also try your best to obey them when they are law. Keep means you retain them. You don't forget them. And how Jesus says this is very important. He did not say, "If you really love me, you would keep my words." That's accusatory and demanding. What Jesus is saying here is how you can know if you really love me. Do you keep my words or do you ignore them? If you willingly and gladly receive God's word, then these words here in our text are words of comfort and reassurance because they tell you that you do have true faith and love in God. However, if you ignore God's word or close your heart to that word, they are words of warning and peril. Pentecost Sunday comes once a year, but the Holy Spirit comes to you every day that you hear or read God's word, when you learn it and remember it and take it to heart. Even so, may your love of Jesus bring the Holy Spirit to you through his word until his kingdom comes. In Jesus' name, amen.